We're looking at the fullness of power, and that fullness of power through prayer. Psalm 62:11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. Man's always looking for power, trying to gather power to himself. But power belongs to God. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, wherefore also we pray also for you, that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasures of his goodness and the work of faith with power. There's a connection between God's power, our life, and prayer. So allow me to share with you 9 things that not only do that we not only do in prayer, but things that God does in us in prayer. I looked it up in Jewish rabbinic and mystical thought. The number 9 is the symbol of hidden goodness. That is the goodness of God that he's already prepared but has not yet revealed. So it is the number of gestation, the 9 months of in the womb, when life is fully formed but still unseen. God's preparing a blessing for us. It's the number of truth, the number of completion, the final stage before something breaks into the world. So 9 is the fullness before revelation, the very moment when God's hidden work is ready to become visible. My message tonight has 9 points. So we'll see how this works. Number 1, the power to search out our faults and our needs. You know, one of the problems we have is we don't know who we are. We are told, be a good boy, be a good girl. And we think maybe we are. And so we look around and we say, yeah, there's people worse than us. So we're not so bad. But Psalm 139:23, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me, that is, test me, and know my thoughts. Prayer is the lamp God puts in our hands to walk honestly through the rooms of our own hearts. What's going on in there? Left to ourselves, we excuse, we minimize, we simply overlook the things that most need his touch. But when we pray, when we enter into his presence consciously, we invite the Spirit to search us, not to shame us. We're not excited about sensing shame, but to heal us. So prayer exposes hidden motives. Prayer reveals neglected duties, and prayer uncovers the deeper needs beneath our surface requests. So in prayer, we stop pretending and start seeing, and the believer who sees clearly is already halfway to victory. So pray for seeing what's going on in our own heart. Number 2, the power to seek cleansing from sin, not just to discover it. In Psalm 19:12-13, who can understand his errors? Psalmist understands. We don't know what's going on in our own heart. Cleanse thou me from secret faults. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins, where we presume on God. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great or the much transgression. When Jesus was tempted of the devil to throw himself off the pinnacle of the temple, he said, you will not test, you will not tempt the Lord. That would be the sin of presumption. I'll do this, and God's going to have to do it. I just presume that, you see. And he said, no, that's not the way we want to deal with God. Psalm 51:2, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin. I've told you the story about seventh grade going down in the basement of we moved to Kentucky and in Louisville. And there was coal down there. I had a coal bin from back when they used to burn coal in the furnace. And I hadn't seen coal before. I picked it up, looked at it, dim light in the basement. Looked at it and so on. It was sparkling. I was fascinated. And but then I looked at my hands, and of course they were dirty black. And so I wiped them off and I got them clean. And I walked upstairs, and that door entered into the kitchen. The kitchen was pretty bright. So I looked and I said, oh my goodness, I didn't get it cleaned up. Not as clean as I thought. So I went to the restroom and I put them under water in our restroom. And I looked, and then I looked a little closer, and all my fingerprints were little valleys filled with dust, but coal dust. So I got the soap and I washed, you know, didn't want to do too much. You get that taken care of. And that's the thing with us. As God increases the light of his truth and his word in our life, we see greater sin. So once God shows us our stains, prayer becomes the basin where we wash. Confession of sin is returning home and showing our soul to our Father. You look, you see, you point it out. So prayer brings us under the cleansing fountain of Christ's blood. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, but notice, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Prayer restores fellowship where sin had built a wall. And prayer renews joy because forgiven people sing. The third power is the power to seek victory over temptation. We look at the sin, we're asking for forgiveness, but now we want to talk about that time when we fell into that sin, where we drifted off the right path. We want to go back to that and say, I don't want to do that anymore. Psalm 17:5, hold up my goings in thy paths, that my footsteps slip not. If we're on the right path, let's stay there. All of a sudden, we find ourselves off in the thorns and the thistles and the snares of sin, and we say, how did I get here? Where did I step off? Luke 22:40, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray that you enter not into temptation. Pray that you don't enter into it. We put ourselves into a place of temptation. We sometimes intentionally do that because we enjoy the sin. Temptation is not fought by sheer willpower, though. It is fought by running to the throne of grace before the battle begins. You remember Hebrews 4:16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. This is the throne of grace that where Christ is now, where we go in prayer, that we may obtain mercy for what we've done and grace for what we will do to help in time of need. So prayer sharpens our spiritual senses, so we recognize temptations early, see it as a dangerous snare. Prayer strengthens our resolve when the flesh is weak. And prayer draws down divine help in the very moment of pressure. And he can deliver you. The fourth is the power to seek a guard on our speech. I say that carefully. While it is true, from James 3:8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, an evil that is not ruled, you see, full of deadly poison. So you say, I got that thing about my tongue fixed. No, you don't. You're deceived. The tongue can no man tame. Yet, we may ask God to set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth. Keep the door of my lips. Psalm 141:3. This bridle, this thing we can put over our mouth. So wrong things can leap to our thought, but we just shut the mouth and don't let it come out. Words are small things with great consequences. A single sentence can wound a friend, poison a home, or dishonor Christ. So we pray for a divine sentry at the door of our lips. You shall not pass, he says. Those bad words, those bad thoughts will not be expressed. Prayer softens our harshness before it escapes. It restrains our anger before it ignites, and it fills the mouth with grace instead of complaint and criticism. This morning we looked at Christ saying that we're to be salt, you see. And elsewhere, the Apostle Paul says, let your conversation be seasoned with grace and salt. A guarded tongue is one of the clearest marks of a heart under God's control. A guarded tongue. Not a tame tongue. Can't do that. Number five is this. The power to seek wisdom. Wisdom, again, you remember wisdom is not some ethereal set of knowledge. Wisdom is skillfulness in the Bible. Skillfulness in using right things. James 1:5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally, generously, and upbraideth not. He doesn't chastise you. Why are you asking for wisdom? He says, no, keep on asking. And it shall be given him. Again, James 1:6-7. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. This is something of that single-mindedness that we were talking about this morning, about discipleship. This isn't, I'd really like to have wisdom. This is what you're searching for. This is what you're dedicating yourself for. So you ask, nothing wavering. Wisdom is not merely intelligence. It's the ability to see life from God's point of view. And that sight is given, not earned. You don't cross your arms and lift your nose and look down at people because I have wisdom. See? It's a gift you've given through the Word of God. Prayer can bring us into the council chamber of heaven to teach us to weigh our decisions in the light of eternity. Prayer calms us when choices are confusing or costly. So the believer who prays for wisdom walks straighter paths and avoids needless sorrow. Let's pray for wisdom. The sixth is this. The power to find openness of Scripture. I found this to be a wonderful thing, to pray before I read the Scripture. My reading is always a chapter or more, and so I get the context of what's being said, and I pray that I'll get what God has. See? Not just, hey, that's a neat thought. Psalm 119:18, open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. Wondrous things. The Bible is a living book, but our hearts are often dull. Prayer is the key that unlocks the text and awakens our soul to the realities of heaven. Prayer opens our eyes, it warms our affections, and it becomes a conversation with our Savior. That often has the Scripture, Him talking to me has sparked me talking back to Him. And I discuss these things with Him. The Christian who prays over the Word finds the Word opening to his heart. The seventh is this, the power to seek the Holy Spirit in our lives. We talked before about the power of God coming to us by the Holy Spirit. Luke 11:13, Christ says, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He was talking to people who did not automatically have the Holy Spirit when they got saved. Their belief system allowed for God to put the Holy Spirit upon them, to have him come upon them. We have him within us, so we don't have to ask for him to give us the Holy Spirit, but we can ask him to fill us. That's the thing that Ephesians tells us, be filled with the Spirit. When we're filled with it, it controls us, you see. It's not us directing things, it's him. Acts 4:31, when they prayed, the place was shaken where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and they spake the word of God with boldness. A lot of people think that if you get filled with the Holy Spirit, you go jumping around the church and screaming and shouting and maybe singing wild songs. What happened with them is that they spoke the word of God with boldness. They went out witnessing, telling people about the resurrection of Christ. So we cannot live the Christian life without the Spirit any more than a lamp can shine without oil. Oil lamps. Prayer invites his filling and his leading. Invites it, opens our heart to it. Prayer yields our will to his. It invites him to ripen his fruit in us, fruit of the Spirit, and opens the door to channel his power through us. This is what we were doing as we were praying for Jerry. We were asking God to channel his power through us. We remember that the church was in prayer all night for Peter, who was in prison, and they had killed the last disciple that they had put in prison. And God did a miracle, brought him out. We are asking for that, the power of the Holy Spirit. The eighth is this, the power to seek effectiveness in our work. In America, we have the idea we work hard and everything works out for us, and sometimes that's true. But it's not always true. And the thing is, especially when it's the work of God, there are a lot of people that are doing their work in their way, perhaps the world's way, and are saying, now we're going to have success, you see. But the real success is not what we think is success, but what God thinks is success. Acts 4:31, we were talking about that. They prayed and they spake the word of God with boldness. And that's not just the thing they did, it was effective. The church grew, multiplied. It added to it and then multiplied. That's a great concept. It was added to the church and then the church multiplied. Whether our work is preaching, parenting, serving, or simply living faithfully, prayer makes it fruitful. The fruit of the Spirit comes by the Holy Spirit, and we touch him with prayer. We can labor hard and accomplish little, or labor prayerfully and accomplish much. So prayer aligns our efforts with God's purposes. Prayer brings divine strength into human weakness. Prayer prepares the heart of those we serve before we ever speak or act. That's been my constant prayer for Pastor and David as they go to Ethiopia, that already the hearts of those that will hear are being prepared, that God is building a hunger for the very things that God is going to give them. So the Christian who prays works with God, not merely for God. And the ninth and last, ready for deliverance here of the 9 months, the power to seek God's power in others. The power to seek God's power in others. Praying God's power in others. Psalm 85, 6, wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? In Matthew 5, 44, but I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. What are we praying? That God will work in their heart. Matthew 9:36-38. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. As laborers, he wants us to share the vision of the Lord of the harvest. The one that we work for, we're not just in there for the drudge work. We're in there to rejoice in the harvest. And so we're asking him to send more laborers. So what are we asking? So we're asking God to put his power in others to urge them into this area of service. 1 Timothy 2:1, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, supplication, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men. And he goes on to say, especially those who are in authority. So we're asking God to do a special work in them. In 1 John 5:1 or 5:16a, if any man see his brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. We're not sure what sin unto death is. We find the evidence of sin that causes death all around us, but we're not sure how we identify that ahead of time. But here we're asking God to do an effective work in others, to see God's power in others, those who have sinned. So prayer connects us with the love of God that focuses beyond ourselves. It's not just about, help my big toe that hurts. It longs for God's grace in the lives of those we love. So prayer can strengthen the weak, restore the wandering, and empower the faithful. When we pray for others, we join the intercession of Christ himself. What a wonderful thought. This is what he's doing. And in doing so, we become channels of blessing far wider than our own reach. The power of God being sent out. Wonderful thought. Let's bow for prayer. Our Father, you've given us such a vision of what you've shown can be accomplished in prayer. Father, if we think of prayer as just a now I lay me down to sleep ritual, then we've missed the point of it. It's communion with you, fellowship with you. It is entering into your connection to the world and doing what you told us to do, to seek your power directed in areas that are important to us. I ask that you might then give us that sense of dedication, that we will take the time, we will take the effort, we will take the schedule of discipline to go to prayer, and that we will then pray for these various things that show your power being produced in all these things that we pray for. With heads bowed and eyes closed, you may be saying, I know I should be praying more and for better things, but I haven't got there yet. Pray that God will work his power in me and make me the prayer warrior I should be. If that's your prayer, would you slip your hand up and say, pray for me. Help me to be that person that I long to be, that I want to be, that I should be. I'm going to decide to try to do that. Our Father, then we ask that you might just touch us, mold us, make us who you want us to be. Help us then to be people of prayer, depending on prayer, emphasizing prayer. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.